screamed her name over and over and over again, they would stop production. They would stop filming. Matt Anderson. They had that go-to-sleep dinner, and Kelly was really agitated. She kept breaking the fourth wall and kept calling my name and the other producer's name. She'd go, Maddie, 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 Matt, Matt, Matt. That's when Sonia was like, I think something's going on with Kelly. Sonia Morgan.
We've never had a situation like that again on the show, where somebody was actually not in a healthy situation. That was real.
Luann De Lesseps.
I'm sure today they would have stopped filming. They didn't do that then.
Sonia Morgan.
I felt very bad for Kelly. Eventually, I put an end to it. I said, you guys need to stop engaging with her because she's cuckoo. This person has a real problem, I said. She has a chemical imbalance. We need to protect her. She's a crazy person.
Kelly Caloran Ben-Simone.
That was not chic, what Sonia said about me. You don't say things like that, but I mean, having said that, consider the source.
Sonia Morgan.
I slept in Ramona's room that night because one thing about Ramona is, you know, nothing is going down with Ramona. Luann, she'll run into the closet and leave you hanging there, but Ramona's a fighter, and I was very nervous for my life.
Matt Anderson. After that, two of my other producers went and walked Kelly up to her room, which was in the crow's nest. They were talking to her and calming her down. Jennifer O'Connell. At a certain point, I know that I got a call. I was in New York, but in touch with the team in the field, and they were saying, what should we do? Kelly doesn't seem happy, and it just feels like this might not be a good place for her to be right now. I was like, well, if people are becoming unhinged, and if it's not safe for them, they should leave. Don't keep people there if it's not feeling comfortable or mentally healthy. Get her out of there. Kelly Caloran Ben-Simone.
I didn't leave Scary Island because of Bethany or the girls. It had nothing to do with what happened at that last dinner, because production knew I was leaving before that. I had childcare issues back at home.
Matt Anderson.
We booked her a flight. The next morning before she left, she wrote a thank you note to every producer and every person on the cast, on her own personalized stationery. It was very sweet. It was a very nice gesture.
Little did the women realize, just as one storm was clearing out, another was on the horizon. Jennifer O'Connell.
When we had been planning the trip, Jill had said she wasn't available. She was uncomfortable and didn't want to go for whatever reason. She and Bethany were at odds, so that was fine by us. We were like, you're missing out, but whatever, fine, don't go. But Jill was smart, and she realized if she didn't go on a trip, she'd be missing a couple of big episodes. So eventually, she said she was going to come with Bobby because she didn't want to be left out.
Kelly Caloran Ben-Simone.
Jill was always supposed to come to Scary Island. I knew that. Production knew that. We all knew that. That call I made to her 2 days before was just production's way of giving her the reason to come check on me.
Jill Zarin.
It was my fucking idea. I only have myself to blame. Ramona had invited me, but Allie was doing her applications for college, and I wasn't comfortable leaving unless I knew it was all done. When Allie finished early and we were flying to St. Bart's Tuesday for Thanksgiving anyway, I said, why don't I fly to St. John just for one day and one night on my way to St. Bart's? I was going there to support Kelly, who was by herself, basically, and also to make up with Bethany. The producers loved it. But then, the night before I was scheduled to go, I got a call from the girls and they told me Kelly was having a nervous breakdown. I should have told them right then that I was coming the next day, but I kept the secret because I wanted to surprise them. When the plane landed and I walked on the tarmac into the airport, I saw Kelly on the other side of the window waving at me. I have a picture of this, by the way.
Nate Green.
I doubt there's a picture. If there was, we all know Jill would use it.
Jill Zarin.
I walked up to the window and we were like nose to nose with glass between us. And I said, what are you doing here? And she said, I gotta go back. My babysitter has to go home. I'm like, what? I didn't know what to do.
What Jill did was head to the house, greeting the women with her signature, hi. Jill Zarin.
By the time we pulled up to the house, I was hungry. I was cranky. And all I wanted to do was take a shower. Did I ever think I would get kicked out of the house? No!
Sonia Morgan.
I'm intuitive enough to know if Bethany is hurting, she's going to go into her cave and lick her wounds. You can't get in Bethany's face and convince her not to be upset with you. Jill crying like that? That wasn't going to help.
Jill's errand.
People thought I was stirring up drama or was calculating. Not at all. I had no clue.
Jennifer O'Connell. We knew she was coming, but I don't think we had told the cast. It was dramatic. Nate Green. Nothing like this had ever happened before, and we were toward the end of the trip. No one expected she would show up like that. Andy Cohen. The fact that Jill was going down there, on her own dime, I might add, was like a drama bomb waiting to happen. Thrilling!
Jill's errand. It was like walking into a war zone. Who was there? Ramona, who hated me. Bethany, who hated me. Alex, who hated me. And Sonia, who was new. We didn't like each other or not like each other. We didn't know each other.
Sonia Morgan.
I was new to the show and I was like, who does that? If I'm not invited, I'm not invited. I found that so bizarre. I couldn't believe Jill had the balls to do that. I was just mortified.
Jill's errand.
The girls were fucking pissed. All they wanted to do was go to the beach after they had worked all 4 days in a row. Fighting with Kelly was the end, and they just wanted a break because they were leaving the next day. And then I walked in the door.
Kelly Kaloran Ben-Simone. I wasn't shocked when they kicked her out. They were feeling gorgeous. They were like, we won. We're the new A-team.
Jill Zarin. I was like hysterically crying when I got in the car and left. I was so upset. I was so hurt. I was hungry. I was tired. I hadn't had a glass of water. It was 5 p.m. at that point.
Kelly Kaloran Ben-Simone. After it was over, producers told me, Scary Island is going to be big episodes for us. And that's when I knew it was going to be bad for me. I actually broke up with my boyfriend at the time because he was very successful and on TV. And I said, I have to break up with you because I cannot put another person through this. It was really bad. But there's nothing you can do about it. You can't fight it.
Scary Island may have been bad for Kelly, but it only made things worse between Bethany and Jill. By season's end, their friendship was beyond the point of repair, and its demise made it easier for Bethany to move on to her own show.
Andy Cohen. Jill was becoming really difficult to deal with behind the scenes. It was exhausting, and she'll agree with you too. She was a different person at that reunion. Her hair was huge, full of pieces. Bethany said, look at you. You were this nice girl from Long Island. Now what have you become? Jill's greatest moments were when she was just being her true self. When she tried to produce herself, things didn't always play out the way she intended. I think she thought the viewers would be on her side in the Bethany saga, and none of it went the way she expected. Meanwhile, Bethany felt like she'd outgrown the show, didn't want to be on with Jill anymore, was pregnant and madly in love. If there ever was a moment for a spinoff, it was then. It felt like a win-win for both of them to remain on Bravo. And that's how Bethany Getting Married and Bethany Ever After started.
Ramona Singer.
She never told us about the spinoff, you know? We had to hear about it in the press. She couldn't even give us that respect. Here she had filmed with us for 3 years, got her spinoff show because of us.
Luann De Lesseps.
It wasn't the proper way to handle that, I'll just say.
Ramona Singer.
Then, in her silly book she wrote, no one ever said congratulations for getting my own show. Because, bitch, you never told us. That was a slap in the face.
Jennifer O'Connell. There was obviously jealousy among the women when Bethany left. Like, why is Bethany so special that she gets her own show?
Ramona Singer.
I was fine with it. Our ratings when she left were much higher than when she was there, which I'm sure she didn't like.
With a Bethany-sized hole in the cast, RHONY had to deal with the fallout in the group dynamic and find a new housewife. Enter Cindy Barshop. Cindy Barshop, housewife. I owned a national line of spas at the time called Completely Bare, and they were very successful and getting a lot of recognition in the press. I made an appearance on Kimora Lee Simmons's reality show that kind of blew up the business in a really unexpected way. Everybody and their grandmother came out saying they saw me on that show, which was weird to me because I was kind of clueless to this whole reality TV thing. So I asked my publicist, "What's the biggest show that's available?" Because I wanted to promote my company. They said, "The Real Housewives of New York City." And I go, "Great, get me on that." Jill Zarin. I love Cindy, and I still love her. She's a little kooky and very bright. Cindy Barshop. The casting was closed already, I remember, but they called me and then came to interview me at my West Village apartment. Next thing I knew, I was a housewife. While producers may have welcomed the tough-talking single mother of twins, the cast did not. Her downtown energy never quite meshed with the Upper East Side crowd. Luann de Lesseps.
Cindy came in and was kind of like a deer in headlights. She didn't know what was happening. She was afraid to speak out too much. For a lot of people, it can be overwhelming to be around all these strong, established characters.
Cindy Barshop. For most of these women, this show is their whole identity. They need to protect that. It was almost as if they decided early on that the only way to ensure they'd keep their jobs was if I failed. They would ignore me when we filmed, completely cut me out of conversations. Andy Cohen. It was crystal clear from the start which housewives were not on Team Cindy. Cindy Barshop. Jill was actually very nice to me. She always kept me in the loop. And Luann, I remember, gave me a good filming tip. I wore this beautiful skirt in one sit-down dinner party, but I paired it with a t-shirt top, and she said, "Darling, you have to think about how they'll be shooting you. It looks like you're wearing a t-shirt to a black tie affair." So that was helpful. But from a lot of the other girls, I didn't get that kind of kindness. Sonia Morgan.
Cindy just didn't fit in. She thought she could just come in and be number one, but I told her there's a pecking order.
Kelly Kaloran Ben-Simone.
I really liked Cindy. She was a fun, sweet girl and a great businesswoman, but she was kind of out of the scene. She's not a drama queen.
Andy Cohen. That whole season was off. Cindy wasn't the greatest fit, and it felt like the women weren't really progressing. Cindy Barshop.
It was all new to me, but producers eventually told the other girls, "If you don't step it up, you're going to be fired." I don't think they had heard that before. I later learned they were calling each other up saying, "Don't film with Cindy. If they're going to fire someone, it'll be her." And it came back to bite them in the ass because they fired a lot of people at the end of the year, not just me.
Cindy's right. A mass shakeup before season 5 saw Bravo parting ways with not just her, but also Kelly, Alex, and to the surprise of fans, Jill. It was the biggest casting changeup in the history of Housewives, at the time and still to this day. Luann de Lesseps.
When the fans are so animated about disliking people, you sometimes have to weed the garden.
Andy Cohen. That was the first season that the women's and husbands' social media behavior became part of the story on the show, which was kind of annoying. At the same time, there was a wave of really nasty social media from the fans surrounding certain housewives. New Jersey's fans also became equally pointed around that time. Getting rid of Alex, Kelly, and Jill also was like jumping off a bridge. Lisa Shannon. It was a hard pivot, but it also was a necessary shakeup.
Ramona Singer.
I was shocked. I said to Andy Cohen, "You have a lot of balls to fire half the cast."
Sonia Morgan.
None of us were surprised about Cindy or Kelly. Kelly was someone who was definitely going.
Luann de Lesseps.
Kelly had blamed a lot of things on production.
Kelly Kaloran Ben-Simone.
I wasn't bitter. I had an amazing time in season 4. There was so much less drama and conflict without Bethany. I was proud. I was grateful. The only thing I feel bad about is that I never got to show my fans how I am as a mother, how I am as a friend, how I am as a girlfriend.
All I showed was how I could be the seed who fueled the fire. Of course, that was my job.
Sonia Morgan.
Who else went that year? Oh, Alex!
Andy Cohen.
The viewers felt that she was inauthentic.
Sonia Morgan.
Obviously, everyone has their fans, but Alex didn't have enough to stick around.
Jill Zarin.
I wish they didn't fire them. They were great TV, a couple you'd love to hate watch.
Andy Cohen.
Alex and Simon went for blood after we didn't pick them up. They became incredible thorns in our side. Simon left his job and started a website called BravoRatings.com, where he analyzed our ratings. He would live tweet Watch What Happens Live and troll my guests. It was a brilliant, albeit seemingly time-consuming and not at all profitable, way to try to get under our skin. Then Alex started a vlog where she would critique episodes of New York Housewives and talk about areas where she thought the production had gotten involved. It was unprecedented. I've never seen anything like it since.
Sonia Morgan.
The shocking one for all of us was Jill. But because Ramona and I were such gold, they didn't need Jill anymore.
Lisa Shannon.
She loved being a star, and when she didn't have it anymore, it was a huge slap in the face. There was a sense of, you're cutting me out from something I helped build. And I get that. It's a shitty feeling.
Jill Zarin.
I tried to be a team player. I tried to do everything they wanted. You know, I was kind of a self-appointed ringleader. But I thought in a good way. Obviously, it wasn't always seen that way.
Andy Cohen.
When the show starts to define the women and they become so into their own image, they become their own worst enemy. There comes a tipping point where it becomes not worth it to us. And so there you go. That's the sad story of Jill. There was too much bad behavior behind the scenes, and it got too much to handle.
Sonia Morgan.
The rumors are that Jill's a pain in the ass. Surely you've heard that. That she calls all the time, trying to get back on the show. People do spoofs about it all the time, like, there she is, hiding in the bushes, still trying to get back on the show.
Jill Zarin.
Even now, I don't understand why Bravo never asked me to come back full-time. All the girls are still friends with me. Luann wants me back. Sonia wants me back. Dorinda wanted me back. The only person who didn't was Ramona. And that's only because she's afraid of me. But that's what would make the show good. Everybody would watch.
Ramona Singer.
Jill's still desperate to get on the show. I mean, the show was her life. She's not fulfilled in her life. Bethany, I believe, is fulfilled in her life. Luann is fulfilled in her life. I'm fulfilled in my life. Jill, there's something missing.
Jill Zarin.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe it's my ego, and maybe everyone gets this, but I get thousands of messages every day. Please come back. We miss you. All of it. Why won't they have me back? I wish I could know the truth. Not the party line, but the truth.
Andy Cohen.
There were so many moments during the years where we almost brought Jill back for a party or tennis game or special something, and something would happen that would kill it.
Lisa Shannon.
The truth is, the show has evolved past when Jill was on it. I just don't think she fits in anymore. A full-time spot wouldn't make sense.
Andy Cohen.
She'll always be one of our great housewives. Without a doubt, New York wouldn't have been the success it is if it wasn't for Jill. And over the years, she has mellowed, and our relationship is good after years of it not being amazing. I would like to work with her again. With Jill, Alex, Kelly, and Cindy all out of the picture, there was room for some fresh housewives. In their spots, three women were cast: award-winning journalist, Polish princess by marriage, and best-selling author Carol Radziwill. Mother of two, celebrity stylist, and shapewear brand owner, Heather Thompson. And mother of four, and amputee, Aviva Drescher, whose ex-husband, Harry Dubin, had previous romantic entanglements with not one, not two, but three housewives, Sonia, Luann, and Ramona.
Andy Cohen.
This was the moment where we could prove that this franchise, in this city or others, could lose important cast members and figure out a way to repopulate to take it in other directions. If this worked, it could prove to help other cities do the same and extend the lifespan of the series. We'd already survived without Bethany. Now this was the true test.
Jennifer O'Connell.
One no-brainer casting choice was Carol Radziwill, a woman who embodied a sort of downtown yet down-to-earth chic. She was a widow who held ties not only to the Manhattan elite, but also American and European royalty by way of her late husband, Anthony Radziwill, a cousin of the Kennedy clan.
Andy Cohen.
I'm the one who asked Carol to be a part of the show. I was at dinner at Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos' house, and it came up somehow that Carol was a princess. I had known Carol for years, but I didn't know that. We weren't close friends, but she was in my orbit. We traveled together in groups on fancy trips and saw each other at parties. And I always really liked her. So I asked her if she wanted to do it, because we were about to do a major recasting in New York, and it hit me that she would be a big get for the show. The timing felt right for her, too. She was at a crossroads in her life looking for something to do.
Jennifer O'Connell.
What was appealing about her was that she was really smart. She was a journalist. She had written books. She had married into the Kennedy family. And so we felt like she brought a new level to the table.
Carol Radziwill, housewife.
At that point, I didn't know about housewives. I just knew Andy had a talk show that was really funny and had these funny, quirky, crazy women on it. So I said, okay, I'll do it. I don't care. It's part of being a journalist. You have a natural curiosity about things.
Ramona Singer.
I liked Carol fine, but she was a wallflower. She faded into the background, unlike Heather, who was so annoying and in your face that season.
Andy Cohen.
Heather brought a spark plug energy to the mix. I was hoping there were shades of Bethany there.
Heather Thompson, housewife.
It was literally out of the blue for me. The marketing director at my company, Yummy Tummy, got a cold call from a casting agent and interrupted me in the middle of a meeting being like, you might want to take this. When I got on the phone, I was a bit distracted and thought they wanted to do something with my brand for The Apprentice.
Jennifer O'Connell.
We liked Heather because she was another self-made woman. We appreciated that she had a real business, that she was super successful, that she was strong, that she didn't seem like she'd be bossed around very easily. She knew her shit and was confident.
Heather Thompson.
They told me it was for the Real Housewives of New York City. And I said, oh my God, hell to the no. That was my exact answer. I said, I'm nothing like any of those women. I would never fit in. These women didn't have all that much going on, and they had to create storylines for themselves. They're fake socialites, you know what I mean? Ramona's no fucking socialite. Jill Zarin was as close as you got to one because her husband was so fucking loaded. But real socialites in Manhattan would never go on this show. There's nothing for them to gain.
Jennifer O'Connell.
She didn't need us, which was another component. She would have been just fine with or without the show. If people desperately wanted to be on the show or were fans, it usually didn't work. She seemed like she'd be along for the ride and have some fun with it.
Heather Thompson.
It was totally out of my comfort zone, but I knew it would help my business. And aside from that, as a parent, I had been through this emotional experience where my son had this rare disease, biliary atresia, and received a liver transplant at 6 months old. So that became another motivating factor for me, to talk about organ donation and what it's like being on the other side of having a sick child at home.
Andy Cohen.
And then there was Aviva, who had no shortage of connections to the series. We had put her on tape a few years before, but I don't think she was a contender. Bethany called me one day and said, are you insane not to hire a beautiful woman with one leg whose ex-husband has slept with half your housewives? She was right.
Aviva Drescher, housewife.
I auditioned twice. The first time, I was 9 months pregnant and made it to the top three before I realized I would be nursing and didn't really have time to do the show. And then the next year, they came back and, I guess, Bethany was like, you've got to hire that woman with the fake leg. I figured I could help other people who had physical differences. Heather Thompson. I loved Aviva and was so excited she was cast. Here was this beautiful, smart woman with this dynamic personality who had suffered an unspeakable tragedy but was a survivor. I thought she was going to be so inspirational and could stand for so much. I said, this is a chick I like. Jennifer O'Connell. Aviva also brought immediate drama with her connection to Harry Dubin. Aviva Drescher. Everybody wanted me to be jealous and annoyed that he'd had this relationship with my cast members. But by the time I was on Housewives, I was happily married to my husband, Reed. Sonia Morgan.
I was supportive of Aviva because of her being a mom. I wanted her to do well to support her child. She needed the money.
Lisa Shannon. Aviva was the most neurotic person I've ever met. I understand what place that comes from. You get your leg caught in a machine at the age of 6 and have your foot amputated? I'd be terrified of most things, too. Aviva Drescher. In the beginning, I definitely was planning on just being myself. I did not plan at all on getting into the muckety-muck of this show. I planned on being elevated and refined. Things didn't go exactly as Aviva planned, though. And the reception she, Carol, and Heather got from the veteran housewives could have had something to do with it. Jennifer O'Connell. As much as Ramona, Luann, and Sonia were probably relieved they hadn't been fired, in a way, it only empowered them more. Andy Cohen. It was the new girls versus the old girls. It was not the immediate vibe we hoped it would be. One does hope, but why did we expect otherwise? Heather Thompson. I felt the former housewives didn't want us to succeed. They were intimidated. Sonia Morgan.
When those three came on at the same time, I was at Luann's house and they all went to bed at 9 o'clock. I go, what the fuck? Who are these girls?
Lisa Shannon. Ramona, Sonia, and Luann wanted to really establish the way we do the show, so to speak, and impart this bad behavior on the three newbies, who were eager and hardworking, and it was frustrating for us as producers. We were trying to make sure that the new ladies didn't get poisoned by them. Andy Cohen. One of the reasons we were excited about the new blood was how tough the New York women were with some of the producers. I'll just say that. Ramona Singer. I was having a bad season that year because they brought three new people on who I felt were all vanilla. They really didn't have big personalities. Aviva only had a big personality when she got angry, and I don't consider that having a big personality. That's just called having anger problems. They didn't have any depth.
Heather Thompson.
Oh, please. Ramona has the depth of a dried-up creek.
Carol Radziwill.
In the press, Ramona would say how difficult it was because we were new and we didn't understand how to do it. We understood how to do it. We just weren't playing by their unspoken rules.
Lisa Shannon.
Heather and Carol, in particular, were very savvy. They thought Ramona was ridiculous and rude, and they didn't want to be associated with that bad behavior.
Heather Thompson.
Ramona was so mean to me in the first season. One time, Sonia and I were posing for a picture, and Ramona said to Sonia, "Don't pose with her! Don't promote her!" I was like, oh my God, these little fucking queen bees.
Lisa Shannon.
Heather and Carol hit it off right away. It's always helpful to have an ally.
Heather Thompson.
Carol and I have been friends from the minute we met on the show. Like, genuine friends. And during our first scene, Aviva was so honest. We were at this French restaurant called Orsay on the Upper East Side and really bonded, the three of us. We all kind of agreed that we would have one another's backs and wouldn't do the mean girl stuff. Of course, that didn't last long.
Carol Radziwill.
I thought a lot of what the other housewives did was crazy, but I had a good sense of humor about it. I used to say, the difference between me and the other housewives is, I'm on a comedy and they think they're on a drama.
Aviva Drescher.
As time went on, I began to realize this is really a show about creating entertainment through drama. So I began to make drama. Jennifer O'Connell. We didn't realize how much drama Aviva was going to bring to the table when we first hired her. But she was not easy. Everything about her was just extra. Heather Thompson. I didn't know it when I first met her, but Aviva had applied to be on the show several times, so she wanted to be a housewife. When she finally got her spot, she was going to play the game hard. I was totally naive, but she was very strategic. She had her whole story arc planned out, beginning, middle, and end. Aviva Drescher. The truth is, I didn't really care about these women. I just met them, and I didn't really care about who invited who to a party, who was fighting with who about what. I certainly had no stake. But I knew I had to get into it to keep the job, which I felt was important, so I leaned into that. Ramona Singer. Aviva was terrible. She would just get very upset and say horrible, horrible things. Remember when she came to St. Bart's and called me and Sonia white trash? I had no idea what that meant. Sonia Morgan.
We had to Google it.
Carol Radziwill. After the white trash comment, I really could not look Aviva in the eye again. I called her and I said, listen, Aviva, you need to do damage control. That is not okay what you said. She just laughed and said, are you kidding me? This is the best episode ever. I watched it 10 times. Aviva Drescher. I was caught off guard by being seen as unlikable because I didn't think it would be that harsh. I went from being super light to being such a snob so quickly. But I don't blame editing because it was me. Carol Radziwill. Aviva loved it all. She, more than any of them, got caught up in this idea that she had to play an alternate person for show. With all that she had going for her, she could have been perfect if she just played all that. But she wanted to play the evil character. Aviva wasn't the only source of conflict in season 5. Heather and Sonia butted heads when Sonia enlisted Heather's help to launch a new product, a luxury toaster oven. Sonia Morgan.
Everybody loved the toaster. I was cooking all the time in it on the show, and the idea of releasing my own, I thought it was a no-brainer.
Heather Thompson. I really wanted to help Sonia. Here was this woman who was struggling. She kept talking about this luxury toaster oven. I believe she could make money off the idea because you don't have to have any type of expertise to have a toaster oven. Her story was great. I'm home in this big house alone. I don't need to cook out of this big oven for myself. I'd rather just cook out of my toaster oven. It's easy, it's simple, and I can make great things. So I created one of my own with more room in it and 3 tiers. I'm a storyteller. That's something I can sell. Sonia Morgan.
I went to see my FIT advisor, and he goes, honey, you can't start with the toaster. Sonia, you're not going to be a Martha Stewart. You are an international fashion lifestyle brand. You went to FIT for marketing. You have to start with fashion and then build your brand into homeware later. You are a much more sensual brand. So I pulled the toaster deal.
Heather Thompson. What pissed me off the most about Sonia is that I'm a real business person. I mentor fashion designers all the time, early in their careers, and they're working their asses off just to get a fucking nut. And here's this girl standing on a gold leaf. She's got a platter and a waiter there just ready to say, here, girl, here's Sonia Morgan's brand. She had everything going for her, and she just wasted it away. Do you know how many people out there would have fucking hung by their toenails for an opportunity like that? Sonia Morgan.
I still get requests for the toaster. People still want it. They're desperate for it.
The season 5 casting refresh brought some new dynamics to the group. But producers still weren't done tweaking. In a shocking season 6 surprise, the Countess herself was downgraded to a friend of role, the first such move in Housewives history. Lisa Shannon. Luann, Ramona, and Sonia had developed a lot of very bad behavior in season 5. And Luann was probably the worst offender. She wasn't really available. She had a very non-committal attitude toward everything. She'd cancel filming whenever she wanted. I would get calls at 2 a.m., I'm not going to film this manicure tomorrow. And you'd have to spend hours trying to convince her to go get a goddamn manicure at the salon for 45 minutes. It was horrible. Carol Radziwill. I'm guessing the demotion was a way to pay her less money and scare her into actually participating in a more real way. Andy Cohen. The RHONY negotiations, in my opinion, have always been hard. And in that instance, the tip of the iceberg was that Luann had a representative who missed our deadline, and we said, fine, we're now demoting you. Heather Thompson. That was the biggest slap in the face for her. The Countess was so degraded by that. Luann de Lesseps.
It wasn't like I was a supporting player. I was in every scene of the show that season. And then they didn't have me in the opening.
Heather Thompson. She lost her mind when that happened. Jennifer O'Connell. Diva behavior brings the ultimate payback because they only bite themselves in the ass. If you don't show up, that means you're not really in the show. And at the end of the day, these women want to see themselves in the show as much as possible, even the ones who don't want to take the time to shoot as much as we want them to. Heather Thompson. She came back with a vengeance and was out to make sure that something like that would never happen again. Andy Cohen. Luann is someone who has kind of saved herself despite herself. Luann de Lesseps.
That's called resilience, baby.
To grow the group more, producers added a young, married mother of two named Kristen Takeman. Kristen Takeman, housewife. Brandy Glanville is one of my best friends. She was a bridesmaid at my wedding. We've known each other for a million years. One year, Brandy came to town and brought me to the Bravo upfronts. So there I am, holding Brandy's drink while she took pictures with fans, and Andy Cohen walked into the room. Brandy said hello to him and then looked at me and was like, "This is Kristen, your next New York housewife." It was completely random. We'd never even talked about it. She just said it. Andy and I were both like, "What?" The next day, I got a call from whoever does the casting. Andy Cohen. Brandy has a good sense of who would be a good housewife. How could we not check her out? Lisa Shannon. Kristen was one of those people we liked right away when we saw her tape. She was very self-deprecating about how beautiful she is. She and Heather, they had a really great rapport. Kristen's marriage was captivating to watch. She was very open about their issues, and the kids were really young. Kingsley was like barely 2, and Cassius was what, 4? There was a lot to like. Heather Thompson. I was excited to have Kristen join because it felt like, yes, here's someone with a similar, young, cool energy like Carol and I have. But she had no idea what she was in for. Kristen Takeman. I didn't really do a ton of preparation before filming, so I went in pretty blind, and it wasn't at all what I expected. Ramona Singer. She was one of those girls who had no personality. I didn't quite get it. Kristen Takeman. Ramona is so interesting to me. She has a soft, loving outside layer, but she has been doing this show too long and it's hardened her. So she wasn't very sweet to me. But fair enough, she's an OG. Like, how many of me has she seen throughout the years? I'm sure she looks at a girl like me and under her breath is like, I give this bitch 2 seasons. Lisa Shannon. Kristen just rubbed Ramona the wrong way. And of course, they got into an infamous clash when, during a trip to Heather's house in the Berkshires, Ramona threw a glass at Kristen and cut her lip. Ramona Singer. First of all, it was a plastic cup, okay? It was plastic shaped like a wine glass. And what happened was, it was in my hand and it was a reflex. She splashed me and got me wet. So I just tossed it at her, not knowing that it would hit her in the face and it hurt her. Kristen Takeman. I tasted blood, and to be honest with you, I was literally treading water at the time, so my first reaction wasn't to retaliate. It was like, holy shit, A, I don't want to drown, and B, something is bleeding. I'm going to get out of this gross lake, take care of myself, and then maybe I'll deal with her later. Of course, once I knew I was okay, I was like, whoa, this girl is crazy.
Ramona Singer.
It was never my intention to hurt her.
Kristen Takeman.
You have to remember, she threw a glass at me because I splashed her. It was ridiculous.
Ramona Singer.
We were on this trip and we didn't have glam there with us, so I had gotten my hair done before we left, hoping it would last the whole trip. And then she purposely splashed my hair and it just got me so infuriated.
Kristen Takeman.
Everybody always asks me about that moment. And my personality is, I can take care of myself. I would never, ever, ever throw something back. It's not something I would teach my children to do. And I wouldn't have done it myself. That's not how I was raised.
Ramona and Kristen's feud was far from the biggest drama in season 6. Most of the tension stemmed from Aviva, who found herself on thin ice with production after alienating her fellow housewives in season 5. In order to save herself, Aviva showed she would be willing to do almost anything to hold an apple.
Carol Radziwill.
Aviva nearly didn't come back full-time in season 6.
Aviva Drescher.
They were concerned that at the end of season 5, especially during the reunion, I was self-censoring because I was sort of backing up from my bad behavior and trying to be more likable. So for season 6, they wanted to see what I would produce.
Andy Cohen.
That was the problem. Even with everything Aviva had going for her, she was coming off as inauthentic and producing herself.
Carol Radziwill.
No matter how much drama she made, for some reason, the audience did not like her. And the more time we spent with Aviva, the more obvious it became why.
Aviva Drescher.
Carol was my best friend our first season. But Carol's like a chess player. And when I became a little unpopular and called the girls white trash, she started to distance herself from me.
Carol Radziwill.
Between the seasons, I had seen how crazy she was and started backing off. The first thing I filmed for the new season was the lunch when the whole Bookgate thing came out.
Aviva Drescher.
Here's how that started. I was telling Carol about my book.
Carol Radziwill.
The season before, she asked me legitimately about writing a book, and I remember telling her, listen, you're smart and capable. I'm sure you can write it yourself, but it's probably going to take you a year or two, and you're on a reality show. You're not necessarily going to want to become a writer and live a writer's life. You're doing this for the show, which is totally legit, so you should get a writer to help you if you want it to come out during the season. And she totally agreed and asked me if I knew any ghostwriters. I didn't, but I gave her the name of someone who knew someone. So the next time I saw her, she said something about the book and I said, that's great. Did you end up hiring the writer?
Aviva Drescher.
She sort of came at me like she was the writer and I was some pathetic housewife just doing a book. It was very condescending and one-upping.
Carol Radziwill.
So she looked at me and said, I did it myself. It was really easy. It was like writing a long email.
Aviva Drescher.
If she was such a secure writer, she would be warm and welcoming. Her attitude was just really rude.
Carol Radziwill.
Then she brought up What Remains and said, it was your first book. Did you have a ghostwriter? At that point, I realized, oh my God, she's trying to flip the story and make the drama about me. I wanted to say, that wasn't for a TV show. I didn't write it in a month to be published during the season. But at the time, I didn't want to break the fourth wall.
Ramona Singer.
I heard that rumor was true, that someone did really write her book and that she didn't write it.
Aviva Drescher.
I never really intended on Bookgate becoming a thing.
Carol Radziwill.
This was the first week of filming, and I just thought, oh my God.
Heather Thompson.
For Aviva, it was all about throwing Carol under the bus to give herself a storyline and make sure we were talking about Aviva's book over and over and over again.
Carol Radziwill.
I confronted her and said, What are you saying about me? What do you know about my career? To have Aviva demean something that took 2 to 3 years of my life and was incredibly personal to me, I was shocked. I was being slandered. Heather Thompson. It was a terrible, terrible thing to do to someone, because that rumor is so damaging to Carol's career. And for what reason? So that Aviva could sell more copies of her book? Like, that rumor followed Carol, and people believed it. I remember being on Bethany Frankel's talk show, and she was like, I really think Carol did have a ghostwriter. She didn't even know Carol. I was like, she did not. Carol Radziwill. I will say, I don't think Aviva expected me to be as angry as I was. It was my life story. It was about my husband and my friends. It was something I really cared about, and I didn't want it to get dirtied up. Aviva Drescher. I didn't intend on hurting Carol so deeply. I really didn't. If I had known, I wouldn't have brought it up. All she had to say was, no, I didn't have a ghostwriter. Carol Radziwill. I tried to correct her, but it's funny how when you're defending yourself, the audience is like, you're so defensive. I'm like, yeah, I'm defending myself. That's what it looks like. That's the definition. Heather Thompson. That was the beginning of the end with Carol and Andy, too. Carol Radziwill. It was a big lesson. Though I will say, the end of that first scene was one of the best exits of any Housewives scenes ever. We had this blowout fight. I left the room, walked downstairs, walked into the kitchen, saw Reed and said, your wife is a terrible person. Shut the door on his shocked face, walked over to Harry, who I just met an hour earlier, and I said, Harry, it's so nice to meet you. I totally understand the reason for the divorce. And then I walked out. To this day, I think that was brilliant. Lisa Shannon. The kiss of death for a housewife is to turn nasty and not have growth from it. Aviva was vile toward Carol, just vicious and vile, and that's not fun to watch. In a cast with no shortage of drama queens, Aviva's antics were wearing especially thin by the time season 6 was rounding the bend. She may have extended her contract in the short term by bringing drama, but by the finale, it was clear she was on her last leg. Lisa Shannon. The problem with Aviva was she was very rehearsed. Aviva Drescher. Maybe that's why I wasn't a good fit for the show, because it's all just nonsense to me. It was all very petty. Most of the things I did on the show I would never do, so I was doing a lot of acting. Andy Cohen. Aviva is awesome, but she's not a great actress. Carol Radziwill. There was one scene I thought was touching amid the theatrics. When she returned to her hometown to revisit the place where she'd had the fateful accident that resulted in the partial amputation of her leg. Aviva Drescher. The most real moment for me never aired, even though it was filmed. I went back to the barn where I lost my leg as a kid and reunited with the girl who was there with me when it happened, Becky Morgan. Now, they showed that, and it was very emotional. That really was the first time I had seen her and the first time I had been back. What they didn't show was that Becky's mom gave me a bowl she had saved since 1977. And that bowl belonged to my mother. The night before my accident, my family had eaten dinner at Becky's house, and my mom, who was an incredible cook, brought over a cordon bleu and potatoes gratin in that bowl. I slept over that night, and the next day I lost my leg, and in the chaos, she never gave it back. So now, 35 years later, here was the bowl that Becky's mom had saved. And it was very moving. My mom had passed away years earlier. It was meaningful to me to have that piece of her. Carol Radziwill. But you know what's weird? When that episode aired, showing her seeing this machine that dismembered her, I remember she got slammed. The audience didn't care. They were like, I hope the other one gets cut off. I mean, they really hated her. Sonia Morgan.
You know, fan is short for fanatic. They love you and they hate you.
It only took one fell swoop for Aviva to seal her housewife's legacy and secure her own exit papers. Andy Cohen.
You're going to talk about the leg toss, right?
Aviva Drescher.
Okay, here's how that came about. I hadn't gone on the group trip to Montana because of my health issues. I was newly diagnosed with asthma. None of them believed me, and when they all came back, it was everybody ganging up on Aviva. I got really annoyed. So, I got copies of my x-rays and my medical records, and if they came into the finale and apologized and seemed interested in how I was doing, we'd be fine. But if they came in guns blazing, I was going to make a splash.
Carol Radziwill.
This was the first time we were all seeing her, and we all knew she was going to make some excuse or cause some drama.
Aviva Drescher.
I felt a moral obligation to entertain people. That's what I was hired to do. And I was annoyed because they were all being so unsupportive. So I basically looked at all those women who were telling me that they didn't believe my health issues were real and confronted them about it.
Carol Radziwill.
She was clearly angling for us to try to say she was a fake. But if you watch it, none of us said that she was a fake. The closest thing was Heather saying something about the fact that she was not authentic.
Aviva Drescher.
Under the table, I took my leg off. And putting it on and off takes only a second, so it didn't take me long to get ready.
Heather Thompson.
She kept trying to bring it back to Carol's book being written by someone else, and I kept walking away because it was such bullshit. And then she threw the x-rays at me, saying that she had never lied to any of us at the table and that we had all hurt her.
Carol Radziwill.
Aviva raised her voice and she said, I'm just tired of this group always questioning me, and I'm tired of being called a fake. And then she was like, the only thing fake about me is this. That's when she put the leg on the table.
Heather Thompson.
My immediate reaction was to walk away. I got really far from her. Like, this is fucking ridiculous.
Luann de Lesseps.
I couldn't stop laughing. Who does that?
Kristen Takeman.
What does Ramona always say? De classe? It was just such a big shock.
Carol Radziwill.
It was a little awkward because her leg was just sitting on the table, right in front of her. And that wasn't enough of a theatric, because she could easily just put it back on and walk out. That's why she threw it.
Heather Thompson.
She threw it at me, you know? It was right at me. And then she said, Heather, you'd sooner see me crawl out of here.
Kristen Takeman.
When someone is throwing a limb at you, like, your first thought is, this is a horror movie. I couldn't believe she did that. It was just so crass and disgusting.
Aviva Drescher.
My goal wasn't to gross anybody out or anything. I made sure there was a tablecloth so I wouldn't flash my residual limb at anybody, which could make you queasy, understandably.
Heather Thompson.
At a certain point, the leg was just in the middle of the floor by itself.
Carol Radziwill.
I went over, picked it up, and gave it back to her, saying, you need to get help, and walked away. And then she put it back on.
Aviva Drescher.
I knew one of the girls would grab it for me and bring it back. I wasn't worried about that. I wasn't going to hop over to get it or anything. Throwing it was as far as I was going to go.
Andy Cohen.
I thought it was incredible television. I thought it was hilarious. I loved it. The music, the reactions, the shock of it being at Le Cirque.
Aviva Drescher.
People say she was just trying to get airtime. I wasn't vying for airtime. It's not like you get more money if you get more airtime. I was trying to create good entertainment, and I did.
Despite the iconic television moment, Aviva would not get another chance on RHONY.
Andy Cohen. The irony was that we had already shot the season and knew the leg toss was coming and would be an incredible ending to the season. But that Aviva otherwise really didn't work on the show. I think she bet it would go in another direction. Her husband called me as the season was airing, asking for more money for Aviva, given how exciting he thought the leg toss would be. That was a first.
Heather Thompson.
She got fired. which was just such a fucking slap in the face for her because she really thought taking off her prosthetic leg and throwing it across the room at Le Cirque would have been the thing that saved her. Carol Radziwill. But the audience wasn't on her side. The audience is really smart. They can see through people who are being fake and not good at it. And Aviva, more than anyone, was playing a character. She was so over the top and camp and hyperbolic that none of it rang true. Andy Cohen. On one hand, throwing her leg was absolutely hysterical and brilliant. On the other hand, it was kind of a nail in her coffin because you were like, okay, well, where do we go with this? What more can you do? Lisa Shannon. It always comes down to, are we going to see something new? Aviva Drescher. When Lisa Shannon called me as I was driving out to the Hamptons and said, we're not going to have you back this year, I was really relieved. I didn't have any ego attached to it whatsoever. It's not like this was a job based on any kind of skill that I spent my whole life building up to. That's why I had no problem coming out saying that I was fired. So what? It wasn't an insult to me. Aw, I'm not going to be a reality star. Oh, well. Aviva's spot was filled quickly. Luann was given back her apple, and Dorinda Medley also joined the gang. Dorinda Medley, housewife. I heard about the show way back when it was Manhattan Moms. I didn't want to do it then, as I just married Richard and was really focused on our life together. But when Richard passed, Ramona started talking about it again and said, why don't you try it for a year? It will be a no-brainer. Andy would love to have you. I remember the first day I was filming at Ramona's house and I was like, wow, I like the camera and the camera likes me. It became almost like my therapy. It was a great way of reconnecting to something that was all mine. It had nothing to do with me being Mrs. Something or being someone's mother. For the first time, I didn't care what people thought. I'm a grown-up. My daughter Hannah's a grown-up. I'm not a wife to anybody. It kind of gave me a freedom to explore that part of my life. Andy Cohen. Dorinda was perfect casting with a capital P. A natural connection with the group that went back years. Opinions, likable and relatable. Heather Thompson. But listen, and I'm friends with Dorinda, so I say this from a place of love. She was a fucking nightmare when she first joined the show. She would tweet like she was a fan. Wow, Heather was a real bitch in that scene. I was like, you're on my fucking team. I've got enough fucking trolls on social media giving me shit. I don't need you. Dorinda Medley. Hey, I definitely don't have a filter. I've always been someone who speaks her mind. With me, unlike a lot of the girls they had on the show before me, you had someone who was a full-fledged person. I've lived a life. People who stay on the Housewives have to have layers. You've got to be like an oyster that keeps throwing them pearls. And that's what I gave them. Dorinda shined in her first season. A big feat, considering there was another major addition to the cast. 3 seasons after leaving the show, Bethany returned as a full-time housewife. Andy Cohen. Bethany was arguably our most successful housewife. After the show, she had gone on to sell her cocktail company and made a ton of money. She had a syndicated talk show. She was a mother. She seemed so far over the housewives. And when Bethany leaves something, she has a way of really putting it in the past, like she's totally done with it. It felt impossible, but I felt like there was an organic opening, that this was the moment. Lisa Shannon. She had gotten separated. Her talk show was ending. It felt like there could be a new chapter to explore. Andy Cohen. I sat in her kitchen in the Hamptons, and she started to see the sense in it. As she entertained the idea she was getting amused, her wheels were turning. We agreed to keep it a secret from the other women. I was so excited and proud we were able to make that happen. It felt huge for the show. Ramona Singer. Well, she needed to come back on the show because she couldn't get a show any other way. Her talk show had failed. Her marriage had failed. She didn't have anything else. Andy Cohen.
She'd sold skinny girl cocktails for a ton of money, so she didn't need to come back per se, but she was smart enough to know the exposure it provided. It was an even bigger show than when she left. Heather Thompson. I had been clued into the fact that she was coming back to the show, or at least considering it, when I did her talk show. Her producer, before I went on, asked me, "What do you think about Bethany coming back to RHONY?" And I said, "That's great. She's such a nightmare. The show needs someone like Bethany, because that's what makes it tick." And the producer said, "Would you be willing to ask her on the couch if she would consider coming back?" Carol Radziwill. I didn't know anything about Bethany except that she really crushed it in business. By design and luck, she had managed to do something pretty extraordinary on that show, so I was like, that's pretty admirable. Dorinda Medley. In retrospect now, they were really putting a lot of pressure on Bethany's return. They had a whole advertising campaign, "The Bee is Back." I didn't really understand that then, but I understand it now. It was a big deal. Sonia Morgan.
I couldn't have been happier. My cup runneth over for Bethany. You can never go wrong with Bethany on the show. I needed her to tell me the real deal. I don't want someone on the show that's going to blow smoke up my ass.
Dorinda Medley.
If the other girls had negative feelings about her return, they never said anything to me.
Heather Thompson. No one will tell you, but they hated Bethany. And I know that they all hated Bethany because they talked negatively about her all the time. Ramona, Luann, and Sonia especially were not happy about her coming back. Mainly Ramona and Luann. They thought they had gotten rid of her for good. Andy Cohen. I remember everyone thinking it was ultimately great for the show. Were they bullshitting me? Ramona Singer. I always call Bethany a cat. You don't know if she's going to purr up next to you or scratch your eyes out. Carol Radziwill. Ramona, in particular, wasn't happy to see her at all. Ramona Singer. She's nice to you as long as she needs you for something. As soon as she doesn't need you, you're not in her life. That's why most of the people she hangs out with are people who work for her. So when she came back, we didn't have a relationship. We weren't really friends. Dorinda Medley.
It definitely felt like we were out in the wild and people were sort of sniffing around each other.
Heather Thompson. Dorinda was a huge fan of Bethany. That's another thing that skeeved me out. She wanted to be Bethany's friend because she was enamored by Bethany as a housewife. And I was like, whatever.
Ramona Singer. Every season, Bethany would take someone under her hat, love them, and then dump them.
Dorinda Medley.
People try to sway you to form alliances. And if you're strong enough, you know how to manage it. When someone would say to me, "I can't believe you're friends with her," I was like, "Well, I don't care if you believe it."
Carol Radziwill. I remember defending Bethany to the group before I even met her. And Heather did, too, because Luann claimed to have invented Skinny Girl Margarita. She claimed she was an integral part of creating it. And her proof was that Bethany wrote a Skinny Girl book, and she gave it to Luann with the inscription, "To Luann, I couldn't have done it without you," or something like that. And you know how narcissists are black and white. She was like, "You see, this is evidence. She could not have done it without me."
Kristen Takeman.
The OGs knew well enough that it was really good for ratings, but at the same time, they were kind of freaking out because a lot of the airtime got split up. Heather Thompson. Bethany knew that the girls didn't want her back on the show. But then she showed up at the first filming and they were like fucking crawling up her asshole. "Oh, Bethany, oh, Bethany." I was like, what the fuck's going on around here? I couldn't believe it. They knew how powerful she was and they wanted to get on her good side.
Carol Radziwill.
I wasn't close with Bethany at all at first because we barely filmed together, but I had none of the underlying issues that the other women had with her.
Ramona Singer.
You could tell she felt awkward coming back, especially around me. She knew I knew all the time she had badmouthed the show. "This is a show that projects women in a bad way. I'll never do that show again." And yet, here she is, again, as if it's a different show. Bullshit.
But Ramona had bigger concerns that season than Bethany.
After 22 years of marriage, she and her husband Mario were going their separate ways. Dorinda Medley.
That was really tough on her, because you know what? She really loved that man. They had something special.
Ramona Singer. I caught Mario cheating. Never in my world did I ever expect him to cheat on me. I was just an emotional wreck.
Sonia Morgan.
Singer shed a lot of tears that year. She was crying to everybody.
Ramona Singer.
Since then, he's apologized deeply. He said, I felt emasculated, but it wasn't you. I emasculated myself, and I'm sincerely sorry, and I miss my family. I'm so sorry about how I handled everything. And we've moved on. We have a daughter, and we have children. You have to look at the bigger picture. You can't use your children as pawns. It's just not healthy for your children or for yourself.
One budding relationship surprised everyone that season. The one between Carol and 23 years younger Chef Adam Kenworthy. Sparks immediately flew, but it was Luann who was fired up, since her niece had previously dated Adam. The relationship led to seasons of acrimony and allegations between the Countess and the Princess. Heather Thompson.
We were all there when Carol and Adam met. The whole world saw it on television, right in Luann's kitchen.
Carol Radziwill.
Believe me, I knew the history and asked Adam if he was dating Luann's niece, because if he was, I didn't want anything to do with him. He assured me they'd broken up a year earlier, though during the course of that year, they had hooked up, like exes do. But I made sure he and Nicole were on the same page and it wouldn't cause any drama. I know they wanted to couch it in this way that I was a cougar and he was a boy toy and this was a fling, but we definitely had a connection. Plus, he was 30 years old. He was a man. I was married by the time I was his age.
Sonia Morgan.
I was certainly not judging her for going younger.
Carol Radziwill.
When I told Luann I was seeing Adam, it had been 2 weeks. It wasn't like I had kept it a secret. Mind you, I didn't have to tell her or anyone. But she seized the moment and said something like, I knew you were friendly, but I didn't know you were fucking. I should have probably defended myself more. I probably should have thrown my drink in her face, but I was like, okay, Luann, calm down. I should have taken the moment, but she did, and she ran with it.
Dorinda Medley.
You have to adapt. The show is about adapting, taking your fights, and deciding if you're going to go all the way with it. In this case, Luann leaned in.
Carol Radziwill.
Depending on how drunk Luann was, Adam was either family or he was the help. In fact, Adam was still cooking for her once or twice a week, and he was babysitting her son, Noel. So she couldn't quite decide which would be a better narrative. Was it more to her advantage to paint me as a peasant dating the help of the Countess, or for her to play up the family angle? And ultimately, she went with the family angle. She realized she could turn it into a storyline that made her look like the mother of the year who's protecting her family against some cougar predator.
Dorinda Medley.
Sometimes on Housewives, you feel like you're playing Emperor's New Clothes because there is an art form to it. If you say something enough, it becomes the truth. It's not 60 minutes. And that sometimes can be frustrating because the audience doesn't see what you see.
Carol Radziwill.
The thing was, I knew it wasn't true. I knew she wasn't wounded by this at all, nor was her niece, by the way, who had a boyfriend. But it just got nasty. It got to the point where she was saying out loud, Carol is a pedophile. It was like, are you kidding me? She said that in reference to me dating Adam, a 30-year-old man. To conflate that with pedophilia? Abuse like that is a real thing. People's lives and families get destroyed. So to use that as an insult in some dumb storyline was really offensive to me.
Dorinda Medley.
It's like football. The players get on the football field, they beat each other up, and then they shake each other's hands at the end. It's just the way it is.
Carol Radziwill.
Probably the most personally offensive thing was that she turned it on me for not having kids. Oh, if you had a child.
she smartly used this whole fake drama as a way to put herself on a pedestal and say, "It's family. You don't understand family." As if she was raising the Brady Bunch. I never claimed to know more about kids or family than she did, but let's just say she was not Mother of the Year. There was another clash in season 7 that occurred in an unexpected place, the vestibule of Sonia Morgan's iconic townhouse. Sonia Morgan.
We were all going on a party bus to the Borgata in Atlantic City. I was upstairs, and my sister called to tell me that someone we knew had died. She was supposed to come and take care of my daughter, but because of this death, she couldn't. I didn't have a housekeeper, and I have my daughter there who doesn't film. I couldn't leave on a trip and leave my daughter alone with an au pair or in a townhouse with animals. Anything could go wrong. The cat could get hit by a car, or the elevator could crash, or someone could fall in the pond. My daughter could be kidnapped. So Heather, being fake, decided to come in and film and say, "We're outside and we're freezing." She was playing it up for the cameras.
Heather Thompson. That was real can be. That's actually when I had turned on Sonia, because I had literally carried that woman home. I had scraped her off carpets. I had taken her out of a vestibule where she was letting guys put lit cigarettes in her vagina. I had done so much for that woman, and here we are, waiting to go to Atlantic City. We all arrived at her house, but the limo wasn't there yet, and it was raining out. Well, she would not let us in. Sonia Morgan.
That doesn't even make sense. Such a bold-faced lie. This, again, demonstrates why she wasn't a successful Real Housewife. I've always been authentic on the show. Successful housewives are authentic. She is not truthful, even here, not being truthful. I have an international lifestyle brand. She never knew my brand, and she doesn't know me. That morning, they all had their coffee and breakfast paid for by production. The schedule said not to be filmed in Sonia's townhouse. So they were supposed to be in their cars waiting to get into the party bus. And I was on the phone upstairs with my sister, and I was upset and crying about this death. And I've got the bitches downstairs complaining they can't come in, and I don't have a seat in my front entrance.
Heather Thompson. I went into her house and called up the stairs. Sonia, the car is not here yet. We're going to come inside and just sit on the couches. So I'm walking up to the second floor, and one of the interns comes barreling out being like, "Lady Morgan asks if you can please wait in the vestibule." So I go downstairs and I call her on the phone, but she doesn't answer. "Sonia, we're downstairs in the vestibule and it's fucking freezing in here. The walls are leaking from the rain. Can't we just come inside and wait?" And the fact that she would not let us in her house, I was so fucking incensed. Sonia Morgan.
They need to stay in their car and eat their muffins and coffee. This wasn't a free-for-all. If the situation were reversed, I wouldn't go running through Heather's house. Wait in the fucking car! Rudeness! And they spilled coffee on my gold inlay family table. You know, the Morgan antiques are in the Metropolitan Museum. They're up in Hartford, New Haven. Everything that was Morgan that I don't have is in a fucking museum. They were all sitting on a 16th century chest in my front entrance that's worth at least $500,000. No one sits on that. The red chair that I had in my front entrance has 100-year-old antique velvet. It's not velvet that you just come in and sit on. I mean, I wasn't ready for this.
As season 7 wound down, production realized that the biggest cast in Housewives history needed a little paring down, and both Kristen and Heather said goodbye. Meanwhile, season 8 brought the addition of Julianne Jules Weinstein, a Hong Kong-born beauty, entrepreneur, and married stay-at-home mother of two. Jules Weinstein, housewife. Dorinda and I were friends. We met at a wedding and just clicked. I guess after her first season, she submitted my name to casting, and I wound up getting a call that summer. Dorinda Medley.
Jules was such a sweet girl. She was so beautiful, so kind, and had this bustling family. And you know, she was half Jewish and half Japanese.
Jules Weinstein. Oh God, I didn't realize how much I said that until I watched the show.
Dorinda Medley.
She always made jokes about it and herself, which I loved. She was very funny.
Jules Weinstein. I did the show because I had nothing to hide, and that included talking about my eating disorder. I'm 18 years in recovery now, and while eating disorders are so secretive, I've always lived by the mantra, secrets keep you sick.
Dorinda Medley.
She really did an amazing and courageous thing talking about her struggle.
Jules Weinstein. It was a very difficult thing for the rest of the cast to understand. You're never cured of an eating disorder, just like you're never cured of alcoholism or addiction. But unlike those, you can't cut yourself off entirely from the source of your pain. Alcoholics can give up drinking, but I still have to eat. So I would be eating in ways that made me comfortable, and they didn't understand that. They picked on me and made it so that I was always justifying and always explaining myself.
Carol Radziwill.
I'm sorry, but she was just nuts.
Jules Weinstein.
These women were not supportive. I felt like I gave you information as a gift about myself because I felt like I wanted to share something personal with you, and you guys are just using that information to pick on me. Bethany was especially brutal.
Sonia Morgan.
Jules got a bad shake because she went after Bethany too soon, right away.
Jules Weinstein.
I thought, here's a woman who wrote a book about weight loss, has a brand called Skinny Girl, is a natural foods chef. And on top of that, Bethany's mother had an eating disorder. That's one of the reasons why I told her my story. But rather than being compassionate, she decided to just